Would you pray with me? Holy One, may we find wisdom in ancient words for this time. Amen. So when Susan was reading the scripture, she was reading the scripture from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke tells a story that appears in Matthew and Mark as well. Luke tells a story of how Jesus and his disciples came to see the great and relatively new temple in Jerusalem and what happened there. Just about the time Jesus was speaking, or certainly within a few years of that, a boy was born to a great Jewish family. They called him Yosef ben Mattathiah. We know him as Josephus. He was born to a priestly family. His father was descended from priests time out of mind. His mother was descended from a royal family that had ruled the Hasmonean dynasty. So he came into the world with wealth and position and expectation in a Jewish world. So just about the time that Jesus met his own death, and we remember his resurrection, just about that time, Josephus was born. The first that we know of him from his own writings is that he was sent, and there's records of this, that he was sent to the Emperor Nero in order to secure the release of 12 Jewish priests. And when he returned, having learned a great deal and having position, he strove with other commanders and tribal leaders to become the military governor of all of Judea. And having done that, he went about fortifying towns, knowing from his travels that the Jewish-Roman war was coming. When that happened, the Romans came in great force. And though the Jewish soldiers and their people held out for many days, eventually knowing what was coming, many of the soldiers committed suicide. In fact, that was the plan. Josephus hatched that plan, but didn't carry through. So he was one of the very few survivors. You can tell that he's kind of a crafty guy. So he was taken to become a slave in the house of the man who would one day become the emperor, Titus Flavius. And as chance would have it, as he was being taken, he had a great vision of God. He records this and he told everybody that Titus Flavius would be the savior of Rome, would be a great emperor. Titus Flavius decided that this, of course, was a true prophecy, and it made Josephus's name throughout the Roman Empire, and it secured him land and a place back in Israel. He becomes important because he is the only historian we have of that period in Jerusalem, in Judea, in that area of Palestine, whose works still survive. There are some things secured by Rome, but they obviously take a different viewpoint, but they also just aren't that complete. And so I would like to read to you a description of the great temple that was built. It's important to know that it was Herod the Great who built this temple in Jerusalem. Herod's temple, begun some 40 or more years before, was not finished at the time that Jesus spoke. But already, With its immense wealth, it was in its own way one of the wonders of the world. Some of its huge blocks of green or white marble measured 67 feet in length, 7.5 feet in height, 9 feet in width. The eastern front and part of the side walls were covered with gold plate, flashing in the sun. They were described as looking like snow on the Temple Mount. From a distance, it gleamed in the sunlight or moonlight. It was covered with rich ornamentation. Josephus actually used the word which we would use for cosmetics. And many memorial gifts placed there by all of the great ones on earth, a table from Ptolemy, a chain from Agrippa, a golden vine from Herod the Great. So you'll notice that Jewish people left these votives, but also people who were famous in the Roman world. What could be better calculated to stir up great patriotic sentiment, except this temple also was a reminder of terror. Herod the Great had terrorized his people. Herod the Great taxed them unmercifully to build this, sold his own people into slavery, or took them as slaves to build it, traded them for gold. The disciples came, and they're kind of described, frankly, as rubes. They're described as these country guys, you know, the fishermen. They've never seen anything like this before. Frankly, most people had never seen anything like this before. And they come before this temple, and they say to Jesus, "This is a wonder. This is fantastic." And depending on your interpretation of that scripture, you hear Jesus either actually make a prediction or a prophecy. And the difference between prediction and prophecy is a prediction is fortune telling. I know that this is going to happen on such and such a day. And it sounds a bit like that. But a prophecy is speaking truth to power. A prophecy is saying what is true about a situation. And Jesus has no time for this temple. This great symbol, not just of Jewish patriotism, but this great symbol of the ancient faith means nothing to him. And he says, there will not be a stone left standing in just a few years. By the time Luke is writing down the story of Jesus' words, because he didn't write until sometime later, that has happened. The whole thing has been destroyed in the great wars with Rome. This landmark, this guidepost to Jewish faith, to patriotism, to all of their dreams, is completely gone. And what you see at what's often referred to as the Wailing Wall or the Prayer Wall in Jerusalem is the only thing left, and it's probably older than that temple. Nothing is left of Herod. The only thing we remember of him is his cruelty. Nothing is left of this temple. We're living in a time when our great temples are failing. They're burning like Notre Dame. They're sinking like St. Mark's under the waves. Venice, we don't even know how long it's going to be there. Luke is speaking about what to Jews is a world-destroying catastrophe. And Jesus says, according to Luke, God's faithful people should lift their heads. They should expect resurrection, redemption, and rescue. And it's worth remembering at this point that he is echoing words that were said by the prophet Anna when he was born. She spoke to him of all of those who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And Luke's story requires the audience to imagine all of those people that Anna found as still waiting, still expecting a resurrection, a faithful hope. And if Jesus' listeners do lift their heads and look around, they will see past, of course, the temple. And Luke's listeners know it's also no longer there. So what is the guidepost then? What's left? The Jewish people did not give up when the temple was destroyed. They put their guidepost somewhere else. They put it in the family. It became the place of teaching, the place where things were remembered, in the secret caches of Jewish people who were spread across the world, were bits and pieces of scripture. Sometimes later they were gathered together. Were the rituals, were the memories, all of those. For the Christians, the guideposts were different. The guidepost was the gospel. The guidepost was the community that was created out of the gospel. The good news that resurrection was possible in all its forms. Resurrection, we often think of resurrection just as Jesus' resurrection or resurrection long, far in the future of the people. But the resurrection that happens now, the resurrection of a people whose world has been threatened and perhaps even destroyed, and who find ways to go forward. The gifts of the disciples then and now are what made it possible to continue. It will be the foundation of their future. It will be the foundation of ours. We may withdraw from the coastlines. Venice may become only a legend. Perhaps only pictures will remain of St. Paul's, of Notre Dame. But a way of life is possible when the gospel of love is the landmark. That's the key to our survival. Over these next years, we may find that some of those landmarks for ourselves have vanished, or that something stands in their way. I mean, we live in Richmond. We can look around and see that the landmarks we used to look for are gone. But we are still faithful to a way of life. That's our landmark, a way of life that can be built in community. This is our community. May we build that life in this community and be a landmark for those who look for it. Amen.